Everyone, welcome. It's a pleasure to be speaking with you today. Pastor Scott is still in Alaska. You'll be coming home late this evening. And my name is Andre Rosto. I'm one of the elders here at OCF. And let me just open in prayer. Father God, I pray for the one who preaches. Please forgive him his sins, for they are many. May the people see Jesus in him only, and may your name forever be praised. So our sermon topic today, Tara, is this, Semper Fi. There will be a question and answer session later on in the sermon, and we'll delve into that. So we keep that in the back of our minds. I'd like to start with a scripture reading today. And today our scripture is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So we have a letter to the church of Smyrna, and a letter to many churches. Some were letters of rebuke and condemnation. But our Lord praised the church of Smyrna. Smyrna was located about 20 miles north of Ephesus in what was then Asia Minor. Now it is the country of Turkey. What do we call Smyrna now? I bet you Tina knows. Barry's not here, but I know Tina knows. It's the town of Izmir that Caleb and Marina are serving in. And so that church was praised for their faithfulness. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That really has two meanings. You can portray it as to be a martyr, to be killed for your faith, or be faithful your whole life until the Lord calls you home. Be faithful until maybe you fall asleep and pass away in your sleep. So many people say, you know, I've been faithful for so long, and my, you know, the time of my senior years, I'm just going to skate. No, be faithful unto death. As long as the Lord has you here on earth, show your faithfulness. So it seems the concepts of faith, fidelity, honor, loyalty, are really disappearing from our culture. Smyrna was noted for their faithfulness. They were faithful Christians. So when John wrote the book of Revelation, he had a friend named Polycarp. Maybe some people have heard of Polycarp. And so he was a faithful believer and a friend of John's. They communicated many years. And as a matter of fact, Polycarp was the bishop at the time of the church in Smyrna. And he had many letters with John. They communicated. And so Polycarp was not a part of the biblical canon. But what he wrote as Christians today can give us so much encouragement. Sometimes we have questions. Sometimes our witness is lacking because of the historical aspects and the traditions and all that. But Polycarp, there's an actual book called The Letters of Polycarp. And if you read that, you will find that he gives so much evidence, historical congruity, backup evidence of Jesus, because he communicated with John, and John told him how he walked with Jesus, how he heard Jesus' last words. And so Polycarp was such an encouragement, and he still is, to give us that part of affirmation and historical context and all of that. So Polycarp actually became a martyr for Christ. He was brought to trial at 86 years old. And this is what he said. It was written. He said that he had followed Christ almost all his life. And Christ had never failed him. So he said, "How could I deny him now?" And at 86 years old, he was put to death. But what evidence do we have of the Church of Smyrna's faithfulness? It's got to be historical evidence. It's not just hearsay. So in the 7th century, we had the formation of Islam. And from that day on, they fought against Christians. And their whole goal was to conquer. So they came up through Africa, through Arabia. And their onslaught came north. Did you know that Egypt was a predominantly Christian country? Islam took it over. So they came up to Asia Minor. And the Battle of Yarmouk started in 636 AD. Constantinople, 717, century and century and century went on. So we should know that the church of Smyrna remained faithful to Christ until 1424, all those centuries, they remained faithful and stood firm. They were the last city in Asia Minor to yield to the Muslim onslaught. So we get back to our topic, Semper Fi. You don't have to blurt it out. I just want to see a number of hands that know what that means and what it stands for. Anyone? Good. So Semper Fi is short for Semper Fidelis, and that means always faithful, always faithful. It's the motto, I'm sorry, Rick, it's the motto of the United States Marine Corps, always faithful. So you know that the Marines are actually older than the United States. We celebrate our 250 years this year as a nation, the Marines 251. In 1775, the Continental Congress formed the United States Marine Corps. And the Marines have fought valiantly in every war that this country has had. And throughout the War of 1812, in the Battle of New Orleans, World War I, Belleau Wood, the Argonne Offensive, World War II, Tinian, Guadalcanal, Saipan, Iwo Jima, many others. Korea, the Incheon landing. Vietnam, Da Nang, Khe Sanh. And recently, Fallujah, Helmand Province. All fought bravely, with faith, faithfulness. The United States Marine Corps, although not angels, showed extraordinarily well in exemplifying that motto, that Semper Fidelis. What about us? We are called by Christ to be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Are we faithful to Christ? We can look at it in a context of modern times, for many decades, we've heard the me generation, right? Looking out for number one, putting number one first. So many people, they're not faithful to anyone. They're faithful to themselves. They're faithful to their bank accounts. They're faithful to their own advancements. They're faithful to their pursuit of pleasure. Many people, they don't show faith. They're not faithful to their spouses. They're not faithful to their churches. They're not faithful to their country. They're really not, they're not faithful people. You can pretty much count on it. But Jesus is the ever-faithful, semper fidelis one. He is the only one. So we have Revelation 19, verse 11, that talks about that. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, in righteousness and doth both judge and make war. So Jesus is the only faithful one. And we are called to be his faithful followers in Revelation 17, 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him, us, are called and chosen and faithful. Now, we're not saved just by being faithful. We're not saved by our own doing. We're saved by faith in the faithful one who is Christ. If you think about it, none of us is really semper fi. We're at best faithful more or less. But when we take hold of Christ by faith, his faithfulness flows into us, and that is a sign of sanctification. As we walk with Christ, it's his faithfulness, his strength, that he gives us faith. And so that gives us the strength to say, this is wrong, I'm not doing it, I am not part of the world, I live by faith in my leader. The creator of the whole universe and is sovereign. That is what I am faithful to. Semper fidelis. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So we look at the church in Smyrna, Asia Minor. And so we have persecution that they suffered, that it talks about in Revelation 2, that you will suffer persecution, you will be imprisoned. But worse, you have the first 3 centuries of Christianity, from Nero to Diocletian, of horrific persecution, torture, imprisonment, things that the depraved mind can just come up with. Being fed to animals, ripped apart, just terrible persecution. But did you know, in the 20th century, just the 20th century, was far more martyrs for Christ than in the first 3 centuries of Christianity. And the 21st century is on par to be at least equal with that. So, we have in the 20th century, we had China. We have the Arabic persecution, Arabic countries. Pol Pot, Cuba, and the Soviet Union. In the Soviet Union, you had massive persecution of Christianity. I'm Russian heritage. My great-grandfather was killed by the Bolsheviks, because he was a priest. My grandfather fought in the White Army against the Bolsheviks in the Civil War. So you had that persecution in the Soviet Union. They got rid of churches. They didn't knock them down. They just called them museums. It was forbidden because they were an atheist country. So in that backdrop, there was an event that happened. Small town, Tara. Small town in USSR. In the cities, the churches were closed. But the people still, they had to worship in his church, in a small village in the USSR. Much like we are having today, Sunday morning, about 100 people gathered. All of a sudden, the doors were kicked in. In walked 4 Soviet soldiers. They came and they announced, "You filthy Christians, you're a plague on the glorious atheistic society in the USSR. You're going to die today. You're a blotch on the glorious motherland, and you are not fit to live. But we realize there are some here that are maybe coerced into coming, or maybe you're just interested, and you don't believe this nonsense. We're giving you 1 minute to leave." Rustling of clothes, shuffling of feet, then running out the door. About half the congregation left. The soldier slammed the door shut. They walked forward to the congregation with their rifles, set the rifles down against the wall. Officer stood forward and said, "Brethren, we have come here to worship our Lord with you. But first, we wanted to get rid of the hypocrites." So I asked myself after hearing that account, as we should all ask ourselves, would we have been in or out? "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." That's the question we ask. Because we run up against issues like that, whether it be government or societal influence or what is the thing to do now. We need to remain in that church and stand firm. And so our prayer should be that the Lord would give us the strength to have faith and to give us his faith that he would let us grow in that. So let me close. Lord, Father God, we just give you thanks that you are our Lord, and we know you. It is by your providence that you have chosen us, and we are so thankful for that. Help us walk in faith, Lord, as the Marine Corps, Semper Fidelis, always faithful. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.